you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Woodbird Theater. We now present Off Book.
Off Book. The improvised musical podcast with Zach and Jess.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi there. Welcome. It's been a while.
Okay. It's been maybe only 1 week for you.
It's been one week. All right.
All right. All right. Bare Naked Ladies Comedy Baming.
It's been a second for us, and you may be like, what's going on with Off Book? There's just fan band stuff.
And their brains are goo.
So here's
what happened.
Here's what happened.
Zach and I got hired to write on a show, which we were really excited about. We can tell you a little bit because it was announced. But so get this. We were official comedy writers on the reality baking competition, Baking It.
You may know. Yeah. A normal job to have. So you may remember Making It, which is hosted by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman on the Peacock Network. Is it? No,
they're
on NBC.
They're on NBC. Well, get ready for this.
This one's on the Peacock.
So this one is for the holidays, and it's Baking It, and it was hosted by Andy Samberg and Maya Rudolph, and Zach and I got to work on it, and it was really fun.
Yeah, and we did some, if you're like, why aren't these two go? Well, there's probably some music in the show. And if it ends up in the final cut, you will see why we were hired for that show. If it doesn't, then you will be continually baffled as to why we were hired for that
show. But delighted with the show that remains. Every part of it was fun.
You're going to like it. You're going to love it. It comes out right after Thanksgiving. So please watch and be like, wow, Zach and Jess should have their own many TV shows with their good personal friends now, Andy Samberg and Maya Rudolph and Amy Poehler.
They're now very good personal friends.
They're calling us all the time. We're telling them, y'all, you can't be calling us all the time. We're busy.
We don't have
time for you.
Anyway.
So that is why it's been really hard for us to, like, we were just working really full weeks and we didn't have time to schedule with the band and all that. So thank you for bearing with us through that. There's no music in this episode. We're just going to answer some questions that we got both on the Facebook group and in the Mail Person Stacy email and on Twitter. And then we are also going to release from our archive Reborn in the Fire live at Nerdmelt with Rachel Bloom to everyone. And that will come out tomorrow. So you only have to go one day without a musical. If you've already heard it, you get to enjoy it again.
What a fun one it is. Was that our very... No, sorry.
It's not our first live show, but it is our first Rachel show.
Is it our first live show that we were like asking people to, that wasn't the UCB one?
Where we like sold tickets to it? It might be. You know what it also was? One of the last shows that happened at Nerdmelt, RIP.
Yeah, that's true. That was a fun space. Well, that's neither here nor there. Yes, that'll be a great episode. If you're newer to Off Book and missed it on its re-release and are not in the Off Book Clubhouse, here's a little drop in the main feed for you. Look for that tomorrow. It's a really fun episode.
And for those of you who are supporting in the Off Book Clubhouse, thank you so much.
My gosh.
Sorry the video content has been lax as of late. But like, guys, we couldn't.
I need you to tried. Know we actually couldn't.
We need you to know. It's important that you know we couldn't. We thought about what it would take to could, and we couldn't.
You're just not always ready for it, you know?
Hey, Helen on the Facebook asks, have you done or are you writing for other comedians or shows? Is there any non-off bookshop stuff coming up that we can catch?
Oh, my gosh,
Helen. What a great question. So, yeah, Baking It, Peacock, right after Thanksgiving. We'll probably shout about it again. It was truly a blast.
Yeah, it was such a fun crew. Neil Casey was the head writer. Very hilarious. Nicole Thurman was in the room with us as well. And
she ran away back to New York before we could get her on the pod.
We'll get her. We'll get her. It was super fun. And yeah, I think we like writing for ourselves the best.
I think we like writing for ourselves the best. But
we do like writing for other people. And they did so well with the weird, weird things we wrote.
Yeah, they really did a great job. Hey, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah.
This one comes from Kay. Thank you, Kay. What is the biggest non-serious disagreement the two of you have had? I.e., they say, my friend and I bicker all the time about whether flavored water sucks.
Oh, gosh. Well, Zach and I would never disagree about that.
I can remember one. And Scott was there for this, too. By the way, none of the band are here.
Yes.
They're not just being quiet. They're not here.
Wait. Okay. This is hilarious. I'm excited to hear because I feel like I immediately thought of something.
Okay. Mine is about the musical.
The last five years. But that was almost a little bit serious in that it was like a serious.
It's a conversation about agency and art, but it's not it's not about you and I.
Yes. And we were not seriously upset with each other, but it was like slightly serious about who gets to tell what story.
Yes. So the Spark Notes version of that was Jason Robert Brown, who wrote The Last 5 Years. Safe to say autobiographical, semi-autobiographical.
Yes, I think he's pretty open that it's quite autobiographical.
It's quite autobiographical about him and his ex-wife. Who asked him not to tell that story. And he was like, whatever, I'm going to do it anyway. And I think where we came out on that was that, like, he absolutely has the right to do that. I think it feels like such a, I don't know. We were on different sides of, what were we on different sides?
You were like, he shouldn't do that at all. And I was like, he frames himself as the bad guy. And I feel like we should be telling stories from our lives, even if there are other people in it. And it's also like, should versus is it the kind thing to do is obviously a different question.
Yeah, okay. I think that's where we landed on.
Right.
Kind thing to do? No. Should? Sure.
And I was kind of the position that because he's so clearly the bad guy in it, that I felt like that protected him more than you did.
I think that's right. I think that she often does not come across great in that musical. Despite him being the quote unquote bad guy. I get that it is like an intricate.
And I think that part is too subjective because I'm like, oh, I don't think she comes across really. She comes across not bad to me at all. So I'm like, maybe this. And also we didn't have enough clarity on like when she asked it, at what point, you know what I mean? So
there's a lot of it. That's the one that came to mind.
Was thinking about when you were going so hard, when we were ranking Disney villains in Kansas City with Greg Smith, and you were like going so, I can't even remember for who. Oh, Prince John or something.
Prince John, Robin Hood.
And I was like, he should definitely be included in the top 10. But Zach, like if there's a villains parade at Disneyland, he's not in it. He's like,
disagree.
But I'm saying he's literally not in it. So he's not like he is not like held in the same breath as your Ursula's, Jafar's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, everyone's allowed to be wrong. That's okay.
Of course, of course, of course. They're all wrong. But I was like, he does not hold the discourse in the same way that these other villains do.
Not everyone is so thirsty for those foxes.
But that
those foxes and that lion and that snake that gets put in a barrel and gets drunk. Disney movies used to be wild.
But that was one of the first times that we articulated the, sometimes Zach defends all points like he actually believes them. And then
yes, important to know that I form opinions quickly and then hold them dearly and then abandon them.
Because you basically, we like paused to order like a big pretzel and you're like, yeah, I guess he should just be like number 9 or something. And I was like, wait, what was the last 9 minutes? And you're like, I just want him to be on the list and I really like him.
You know what we can both agree on is that
Big Pretzel is great, and our manager was wild.
Was wild in his take that pistachios were
an appetizer.
Was that what it was?
Yes.
Sorry. Zach. Other Zach.
We dragged you. Yeah. There's. This is a pastime that I developed when I was like backpacking, but it's like making top 10 lists and having to like come to consensus on it. And it's like, for me, like a fun thing to do on like trips, or if you're like waiting around, or it's just funny to like talk through, okay, top 10 fruits, and have to all like make your case.
You have
like,
to, and you have to rank them.
Yeah, and you have too. To rank them. Yeah. So we were, we were having dinner with our manager when we were in DC, I believe, to do one of the shows at the Kennedy Center. And I was like, okay, top 10 appetizers. And we know we're generating a great list. And then
it's good. It's got
everything. This guy.
This madman.
Who we trust with
our careers.
Comes out with pistachios.
Absolutely not. Get out.
Completely not an appetizer.
And then I think you sent him a bunch of pistachios, and I sent him like a pistachio dish for Christmas that
year.
Or something.
Yes. Something I sent him a pistachio dish that had. Do we both we collabed on a pistachio game.
I sent something that you didn't send, but it was pistachio related.
Yeah.
Great question. Thank you, Kay. This one comes from Reed. Did you know Brett and Dana before working at Earwolf?
No.
No, we did not.
I'm sad that that's not a more interesting answer. No, we
the answer is no. We got it. Some we need to blow through. We got a lot of questions. Yeah, we got a ton. More than we can answer.
We met them at Earwolf.
I met them in Earwolf, and then Brett just happens to also play guitar. We were like, okay, you're on guitar now. Dana, you're a producer. You play drums. Okay, you're a drummer now.
Yeah.
Scott, we brought with us. Scott. Yes. Scott I knew from before, but I guess you knew that, Reed, because you didn't ask about Scott.
Good job, Reed.
But who really knows Scott?
Only Scott.
Only Scott. Scott's child, probably. Scott's wife, probably, also.
Yeah.
You probably know Scott pretty well.
They probably know Scott pretty well.
Thank you for that question. Here's one that is, I think, going to be hard to answer.
Great.
This one comes from Macy on Twitter. Thank you, Macy. My old Kia Spectra was named Captain Sharon after the character from your guys' third episode, I believe with Drew Tarver, because Kias were mentioned in that episode. Now I have to buy a new car, and I want to name it after another off-book reference. Any ideas? If it helps, it'll hopefully be a Nissan Versa Note. Thank you for that question.
Wow.
And that trust, Macy. Okay.
That's really sweet.
Now, here was my first thought.
Okay, great.
Feel free to go. My first thought was like, what are the other captains that we have had?
Sure.
Not James Pilot. He's not a captain. He's just a, strangely, he's just a pilot.
And I was thinking, wow, verse and note in the same as both already both very musical.
Very musical.
Wow.
Well, okay, so what's a third musical thing that it could be? It could be leitmotif, the Nissan Versa note.
Right. But a character.
Character.
Okay.
Character.
A Nissan Versa note.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay.
See what I mean? See what is the heart and I mean, a lot I of responsibility. Sort of,
and also I have like recency bias where I just am like, name it Xenon, because that was like
Xenon car of the 21st century.
okay, so that's one pitch for you.
Maybe it's Xenon car of the 21st century.
I'm also like, what was the Trickster University episode that has the whole space epic within it? You know, is it like Captain Strawberry or something?
I think there is a captain, maybe Captain Strawberry. I like captain themes.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a captain in the Heim episode.
Heim is on a boat for sure. And
Heim is on a boat for sure.
And there's like three pirates.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We don't remember a single thing from a single episode we've done anymore.
Yeah.
So probably name it.
Probably name it Tony, because my name is also Tony.
Probably name it Tony and also Tony.
Tony, also Tony, the note.
Probably name it, probably name it Keish. Are these all from the Tim episode?
Keish is from Lelon.
Oh, yeah. Keish is pretty good.
Keish is pretty good. This is also funny. We realized that I was picturing it Q-U. Like the food.
Like the food.
And you were picturing
it. Do you
it.
Care to take a swing at how quiche is spelled?
Q-U-I-C-H-E?
I think you nailed it.
You maybe. And then you were picturing it a different
K-E-E-S-H.
way, that a, like a friend of ours wrote, put it in writing, and we were like, I was like, oh, can you believe Jason spelled it that way? And you're like, that's how I was picturing it. So up to you on your spelling. Maybe it's K-E-E-S-H, the Versa note. That's pretty good.
That's a great answer. We did a great job, Macy. Thank you for that question. If you were ever to break the form, this was from Stephen or Stefan, I'm not sure, in the Facebook group. Anyway, the question is, thank you for the question. If you were ever to break the format of the show and do a sequel to one of your musicals, which would it be?
A sequel.
That's kind of what the long-running episodes are, I guess. They're all sort of sequels to each other.
My God, you just broke my brain that that's the next thing we have to record.
Oh, yeah. That's, we do have to do one of those. We'll be fine by then.
We'll be fine.
We're not doing that right now.
You're right.
When we do that, it'll be fine.
You're right. You're right. Gosh, Ex-Moms comes to mind just because those types of stories are inherent. Like, they exist in worlds of sequels.
I would do the sequel to The Kids Are at Night. Because, like, what's that whole family doing? It's easily contained.
I was also thinking a sequel to the Lou Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah, where everyone's, like, a monster.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Check back in with those kids.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What was the other Halloween episode that we...
With Mark McConville. Yeah. I was just thinking of the two where there's, like, bones and candy and whales.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Also, Stable George. I would, like, check back in with Bone Skeleton with those brothers.
Anything where there were skeletons in it, we would check back in.
Yeah, and actually really any seasonal episode. Like, I would check back in with any of the Christmas episodes.
Oh, sure.
I would see that flamingo again. I would see Radiohead caroling. I would see the original dog train.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Prequels are fun. I'd love to see the doggy train to Christmas Town get built.
Yes.
Who's building that train? Is it a bunch of cats? Probably.
Probably.
Okay, one more. We're going to do a quick one, and then we're going to take a break. FMK, or FKM, depending on regionally where you're from. Listening to music. Oh, this is from Laura.
KFM for me.
KFM. This is from Laura on the Twitter. Thank you, Laura. This question is, FMK, listening to music, playing music, writing music, parentheses, for others to perform, end parentheses, which is huge in the ordering for me.
Yeah.
That makes it an easy K.
Yeah, definitely.
Easy K.
What was it? Listening to music, performing?
Playing music.
Okay, I'm going to say listening to music is, that's got to be the M for me.
It's got to be the M.
Because it's the most stable. It's giving me the most, like, rounded out emotions.
In your life, you're going to do it more.
Yeah.
It's going to be a longer thing.
Yeah. And I would say being on stage feels much more like effing.
It's a high.
It's a high. It's a momentary high.
You get on stage, it's like effing. It's why we do it. It's why we're hungry for it.
I mean, sort of. So sort of. It's not true. So I think that that's the clear F. And then, yeah, it's a true joy to hear people you respect and admire sing your words. But I
love
think
it. Love it. It immediately gets killed.
Yeah, it's also bye-bye.
We're also bye-bye, but just for a second. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye for a second.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car.
That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
A whole second's passed, and now we're back.
Oh, it feels good to be back.
You know, it's really feels great to be back at it again.
Back at it again.
Boom. I'm going to answer a few more questions. Thank you all for sending these in. You sent so many more than I thought you would. I guess it's easier than sending an email, which is hard. Writing on the Facebook group is easy. And tweeting is easy. This one comes from Paul on Twitter. Thank you, Paul. What album would you have brought to a desert island at different ages? 16, 21, now, etc.
Whoa, great question.
Great question. In the interest of keeping it sort of short, let's do an early one and maybe a now one.
Okay.
I'm going to do an early one, and then I'm going to do a angsty teenage one, and that's the obvious one. That the angsty teenage one is, in fact, Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park. I would be angry on that island. It's not an album with a lot of vibes on it, but that's what we're doing on that island.
I think if I was 16, it would 15 maybe, it would maybe be Jimmy Eat World's Bleed American.
Yeah, that's better than mine.
And then
but also correct.
And then for basically every other, I think from 21 to now, I think it's probably Abbey Road or something.
Sure.
It's probably some...
People like that one.
Yeah, I think...
I gotta check it out.
I've been meaning to. I got it for pure versatility of nostalgia up, down, all around. I think I have to go with a Beatles album. Probably Abbey Road. Maybe Rubber Soul.
Okay.
A little bit further back. Maybe Sgt. Pepper?
This is going to be a weirder answer. Kay. But one of the first albums I was ever given was an album called Roger Daltrey from The Who, mm-hmm. but not The Who. Roger Daltrey in a live celebration of the music of Pete Townsend. And in that album, there is Baba O'Reilly with the Chieftains. There is the score to Tommy by a full orchestra.
Wow.
And that track alone, I think about all the time because it's the overture from Tommy. So it's all the music from Tommy, which I have not seen, but because
it's weird.
I've listened to a lot of it.
I've seen it. It's weird.
But the music in that is that an orchestra doing a rock montage is truly.
Yeah.
I love it. I loved it from when I was a little kid. And I love it now.
Yeah, that's great.
It's great.
I mean, yeah, a soundtrack is like the Big Chill soundtrack, you know, gives you a
big
lot.
Big chills.
Gives you big chills.
That's right.
Yeah, if soundtracks are included, I might consider something like that.
This question is from Laura. Has Scott learned to play Being Alive yet? Laura, I can answer this probably. No.
No.
But definitely, I'm not sure. But if I were a betting man,
I would say no.
Will he ever? I also bet.
I bet yes, but I think it requires a more definitive, direct ask.
Only because we are saying this right now, and only if he listens to it, which I also bet he will not.
No, he won't.
I don't know. Come at me, Scott. Learn Being Alive. We're going to test you later, and we'll see if you know it. It's also not an easy song to play. It sounds like it is, but it isn't. This question comes from Rob. Thank you, Rob. What is the most theater kid thing you've ever done? I mean, apart from an improvised musical podcast.
Gosh. I mean, mine's everything with the theater camp I grew up going to and continued working at Camp Bravo was I'm trying to think if
that's very theater kid.
I'm trying to think if there was one moment at it that was like the most theater kid. I mean, also pretty theater kid was like when in my senior year of college for a fundraiser, we did a show called Alley Cats where we got in leotards and just performed cats in like the outside at what was called The Rock, which is a landmark on campus. And we, mm-hmm. and it also ended.
What school?
Northwestern. And it is ended with us doing the single ladies dance because that had just dropped.
Now, this is not a question that someone asked, but it's how do you make the musical Cats, the movie version, better? And the answer is the single ladies dance.
Yeah, that would have been better, especially if those cockroaches did it. Disgusting.
We were all hungry for more cockroach Disgusting. Content.
Gosh.
Also, well, the sizing on that was wild. What's the scale?
The scale!
The scale is wild.
It's terrible.
Okay. Mice are not the same size as cockroaches.
No.
Everyone knows.
And also, cats are not so small in a chair and then so big on a train track. You know, like...
They're also not building milk bars, Jason Derulo.
Get out of here with the milk bar. I only like my milk bar if it started at Momofuku and is
okay.
got
All
a
right.
good cookie and the... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, David Chang, get on the pod. Come on. Yeah. We've never had a famous chef on here, but there's always a first
there's
time.
There's always a first.
Mine is we had this wall that was just like a little dividing wall in our high school. We used to stand on it. And it was like the rhyming wall, like an old-timey competition where you would just like... It would be like if a rap battle was not cool at all and didn't have any meter to it, and you just had to rhyme at each other until one of you... failed.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. So that's the most theater kid thing that
I want to say it's like any time at breakfast at theater camp when everybody just starts singing like La Boheme and dancing on their chairs. You know what I mean?
I, for whatever reason, the theater people that I was rolling with were not as prone to busting out into full songs in public. I think that has always struck me the wrong way because I'm hypersensitive
public,
to singing in public.
Public is weird because you're now taking over someone else's space with your very loud noise. Yeah, public, this was you know, in the dining hall of the camp. But yeah, public is a different... That's a different energy. That's got to be like 2 a.m. in the middle of the street. You're remembering your jazz combo. And
that's,
it's very
fun. We love that.
That's
we fun. If you know the opening to Chorus Line and you're in the middle of an empty street.
That's fun.
You got a da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. You want to do some rapid fire ones that are already pretty easy?
Yeah.
This one comes from Patty. Thank you, Patty. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. A little sleepy, but good.
Thanks, Patty. I'm also doing pretty good.
Great.
We're tired from what we did before, but now we have more time to work on the other stuff that we can't talk about yet, but we will talk about soon. This one comes from Emma. Thank you, Emma. Out of the three men from The Wizard of Oz, okay, no Dorothy, no Toto, the three men from The Wizard of
Oz.
Scarecrow, classic. Well, now that I think about it, only one of these is a man. The Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the lion.
Well, if you,
I guess two of them are generally coded as male.
And I think if you think of them as comps from their...
Then they're all men.
You're
so right. You're so right. Because it's all an illusion.
And you were there, you know.
Which are you of those three? Include the wizard if you're feeling extra spicy.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And I hope not ever those for the wizard.
I'm a little... This is tricky because I played the Scarecrow in sixth grade and I...
That we should probably label each other, right? And I was going to say, I think Scarecrow would have been my pick for you.
Thank you. I do think it's right. I do think it's probably right, but I'm trying
think
to think...
it's probably right.
I'm trying to think of how much of that is because I liked playing the Scarecrow.
But it's tricky because all of those are people that like their whole thing is that they don't have something, but then the actual thing is that they have had that thing all along.
Yeah. And I don't think I doubt my intelligence that often. I maybe don't doubt it enough.
Yeah, and me too. I know everything until someone tells me I'm wrong.
Right. I also know that the sum of the square roots of any two sides of an isosceles triangle equals the square root of the remaining side. Oh, joy, rapture, I've got a brain.
Hey, for those of you who aren't, who are, I guess, paying the least attention, that's a line from The Wizard of Oz.
But I do still think that of the choices, it's the most right. Because I'm not, and I want to say that's probably for you too. I don't think that either of us are ever deterred by, it would never be courage.
Well, it's certainly not the Tin Man. And we do not have emotional problems.
Right. But like, we're not like.
In outwardly feeling like we don't feel enough.
Right, right, right. I mean, I'd say for you, it would weirdly either be the Scarecrow or the Wizard. Because I feel like I'm just getting drawn to the like the showman.
Lion's a big cat, though.
Okay, now the lion's a big cat, though.
Lion's a big cat,
and Magellan does look like a lion.
He's such a fluffy boy.
Okay, this is interesting. Well, but also the fact that the Tin Man does have a heart all along. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're just both scarecrows, honestly.
I think we're probably just two scarecrows.
Pardon me, that way is a very nice way. It's pleasant down that way, too.
That's both the ways. He pointed in two different directions. He's no help to Dorothy at all. Except that he is!
Except for that he is. And also, when I played the Scarecrow, they gave me these gloves that were padded, so my hands were like, I could do all kinds of funny little...
Big hands.
Big hands.
Big like Mickey Mouse, yeah. The rat with huge hands.
Yeah, and like... all my gestures looked bigger than like if I was just a regular small sixth grade girl.
I'm glad that they give you big hands. And I was sixth grade. I was not the Scarecrow, but I was Jack in a truncated version of Into the Woods.
Heyo.
So
that's a good one.
Hey.
I'm sad I've never been in Into the Woods.
You'd be great.
Thank you.
Who should play in Into the Woods? I mean,
I think I'd be probably. Well, let's see. I'm kind of in between right now. I think I would have been a good Little Red.
You're sort of...
And now I need to wait till I could be the baker's wife.
Yeah, you'd be a great... Yeah, you're... I'm thinking less in terms of age and more in terms of just like... If everyone in the cast was your age, like who would you be?
Maybe Cinderella, but that's kind of boring.
I would love to see you as the witch.
I know.
Because I don't know what it would be, but I think it would be
great. I don't think I'd ever get cast as the witch, though.
No, but you'd be great at
Thank
it.
Thank you. But that's exactly what I would never get cast as. Thank you. I would love to be the witch. Baker's wife is great. Little Red is actually probably who I should be.
That's true, but you'd be wasted on Little
Red. Little Red's good. And also there's a version where you play Little Red where she's like discovering sexuality, which
That's true. I think Little Red probably has the potential to be very, very funny.
Yeah, for sure. Like you play that the wolf is her like realizing she wants to have sex kind of like what is dangerous and what is nice. I think there's some of that heat inherent in that if you choose to play into those themes. Otherwise, if you play like Into the Woods Jr., she's just like a curious little girl.
I don't want to get eaten.
Yeah, exactly.
Bisexuality.
Please don't chomp me up, sexuality. Oh, no. Is sex going to chomp me? Does it hurt?
Yeah, it does. Every time. Never do it. Wait till marriage and then keep waiting.
And then only do it three times. That made me think
why,
of...
Why three times?
You better at least have three. Well, I don't know.
For kids.
For children.
Okay. Yeah. Then only do it three times.
I guess that was my concept of adult sex based on my own family.
Because you have three siblings. Yeah. Yes, I understand now.
Oh, my parents have done it three times.
That's right. And exactly, no more, no less. This one comes from Andrew. Thank you, Andrew. Who'd be the last one standing in a zombie apocalypse?
Of the two of us, or?
It doesn't specify. But like in sort of the general population, I'll give you a hint, it's not the two of us.
Yeah. If it was fam band, it would be Brett. My money's on Brett to stay alive the longest.
I think I would kill Brett.
You'd kill Brett?
To stay alive.
But aren't we just trying to survive and then the zombies are getting us?
I mean, that's the rule.
Oh my gosh, you're immediately turning on us?
No.
I just think Brett has the most resourceful tactile skills of things that are like... Although Dana...
I think it's Scott.
Dana would also, well, she's very into aliens. I don't think zombies are the same, obviously, but
Dana would run into the arms of the zombies.
She
and
might
say,
be like,
you're
so
just aliens. We don't understand.
She
you.
Might be so intrigued.
Get
yeah. I mean, it would not, of the two of us, I would give you slightly more time alive than me. And especially because, you know, I'm not interested. You would be a little bit like...
You'd quit. You'd
I
be
would
like,
quit.
Actually, I'm out.
Absolutely.
I don't want to survive in
Absolutely.
This
I'm like, this is not even worth surviving. But you would be, I think, a little bit more like turn off, you would have that part of your brain that's like, this is a video game, let me try, mm-hmm. that would allow you to live longer than me. But I would, of everyone, I would be maybe the first to go, and potentially by choice.
Well, if Dana runs into the arms of the zombies thinking that they're aliens and trying to learn more about them, she goes first.
Yeah.
I think Scott is going to surprise us and outlast us all. Because remember when Scott showed up with an air conditioner?
Yes.
And he was like, also, I brought all of these things to make sure the air conditioner works.
He does have a lot of that too, for sure.
But it's either Scott or Brett. It's not us soft little babies.
No.
California babies.
No. If zombies happen, I would like survive long enough to be like, oh, can they get across water? Are we all just going to islands? Like, I would stay involved long enough to like get through that amount of information, and then if they were like, no, they can drive boats, I'd be like, okay, bye. But if I could have a boat life, I think I could, you know, get it together for a little bit.
Yeah, I think you gotta look, you got a couple options. One, get on a boat, mm-hmm. get out to sea where the object. Two, you go underground. We're mole people now.
Yeah.
Three, go up in the trees. Mm-hmm. You're a forest ninja now.
I would like that.
Four?
On the floor.
On the floor. Just a real solid beat.
That's a safe way to sit in a chair.
Yeah. Also a way to sit in the chair.
Do you have teachers who used to say that to you if you were leaning back?
I couldn't be contained by teachers. They gave up.
I just remember teachers, like, kids loving to, like, lean back in their desk chairs and teachers calling out, four on the floor and add two more. Your feet.
Oh, wow. I was like, one of these freaky robot dog desks.
You better build out your chair, kid.
Four on the floor, and you better add some chairs and steps, legs to that chair. This question comes from Dan Wright. Who is your favorite East Coast off-book pianist, or who's like someone in your top three?
Oh, I love Dan Wright. So
Dan Wright's played for our first New York show. He's a pianist. He's wonderful.
He's played for...
He played a tour for us when we went
He's played every time we've played in New York, right?
Yes.
And then he's played one time in Kennedy Center. He played good old Steel Stacks out in Pennsylvania. That was fun. Mm-hmm. That was when I was shocked to see how popular that little town was, and we couldn't find we needed a dinner reservation, remember? And we were like...
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania was
surprisingly popping. It was great. Yeah, he's really amazing. Also,
yeah, you're in the top three. Eric Gerson's in the top three for sure. I don't know if there's been more than, now I'm going to forget someone great. I'm sure every pianist we've ever had has always been amazing. We love you all.
Also, Dan, we were in Scotland with.
Oh God. Yes. For months on end.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. We got time for maybe a couple more and then we got to get out of here and rest our mush brain. What are some other awesome, hilarious podcasts that you recommend? This comes from Joanna. Thank you, Joanna.
I mean, I don't know that there's any ones that you wouldn't already be listening to, but the one I'm kind of in a different spot with my podcast right now. I'm listening to my like only ones I'm being completist about right now are Poog and Deep Dive. So I'm listening to a lot of female friendship right now.
We love that. This podcast doesn't have any of that. You and Dana are famously enemies all the time.
But yeah, I think that's what I'm listening to. I mean,
if you like some D&D stuff, I'm listening to Rude Tales of Magic, which is very, very funny.
Ooh.
Rude Tales of Magic, I love. And if you, I also listen to friend of the show, Ethan Edenberg's podcast, Success Express, which is a truly wild,
love Ethan,
insane podcast. Love him. He's my tennis buddy. We play tennis all the time now.
Guys, Zach is becoming quite the tennis boy.
I'm a tennis boy.
I'm excited to tell you all.
Can I tell you who I played tennis with the other day? It's the silliest like podcasters convention of tennis people in the world.
Yes,
it was me, Ethan, Mike Carlson from Podcast The Ride, and Tim Murray, who just did our show and is of the Sleepover podcast.
So sweet.
Slumber Party podcast. Excuse me. A real rogues gallery of
tennis
idiots
boys.
Who are all tennis boys.
That's great. I don't listen to that many comedy podcasts. Like, I think I spot listen or I check in, but I go through waves. And sometimes I'm doing more of that audiobook life, you know?
You got to. I'm trying to listen to more music lately because I just don't do it at all.
Yeah.
We're still at home, so it's like, when am I going to do music? I'm like going for a walk or something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get... who had a bad experience with overly helpful waitstaff that inspired the song Shared Small Plates? That question comes from Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. That was definitely more from me than it was from Zach. When I first pitched him that song, he was like, I think I know what you're talking about. I was like, you haven't experienced this phenomenon where every restaurant is family style now, and they all are acting like they're the only ones who are that way. And they all feel like they need to explain how the dishes get bigger as you go down the menu and how you need to share plates. And then it was one of those, like, the German word for when you experience it, where, like, I told Zach about it, and then he started experiencing it in the wild.
Yeah. Once it was alerted to me, I was like, oh, this is everywhere.
Yeah.
This just wasn't going to enough tapas places before.
But my point is, it's not just tapas. Like,
no, it's not.
It is now every restaurant in LA, and they're like, we do it a little different here. It's family style.
Which is crazy that I didn't clock that, because we were told to do that at P.F. Chang's where I worked, and I just didn't connect the dots. I was like, oh, right, that's what this is.
Yeah.
We're going to make some sauce table. Maybe you've never been out before, and you can't infer what this sauce is for.
Yeah.
Let me explain it to you. Insufferable.
Everybody's doing a good job. Thanks, everybody.
Everyone's doing.
But it is very funny to, like, once it became such the standard way that I felt like cool new little LA restaurants were, I'm like, you guys know that you're the same as all the other ones, right? Unless I'm getting like a burger.
I need to know what manager is like, I have this cool little thing that's gonna make our restaurant different from yours. One more. So we gotta pick a good one. Because then we have to go. Oh, okay. This one comes from Pat Twitt, at Pat Twitt on Twitter. Is there a sound that Word But the Wooden Frog makes? Any insights appreciated? And you know what? Now that I'm actually seeing it, I think we are done. I don't think we have time for this one. I wish that we did.
Oh, that's Pat a shame. Twitt. Yeah, we do have to go. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. It's unfortunate, but...
But hopefully at some point we will get around to... that
one day,
and we definitely didn't get around to it on the live show that we did as our campfire jamboree, which I believe is still on YouTube, but I actually don't know, so that's why we're tired.
Thank you for bearing with us. Hopefully September will feel more like the regular this year schedule. We'll get some guest episodes and we'll get back on the video train. Thank you, Sean Matthew Leary, for all you do. Thank you,
Brett, Dana, and Scott, for everything you usually do, even though for this one you did nothing. So maybe pull your weight next time.
Maybe show up to that Zoom we didn't even send to you.
Just, you should know.
Thanks for all these questions.
Yeah, a lot of people asked, like, are you guys ever going to do live shows again? And the answer is like, yes. When the time is good, we'll be back out there in these streets.
Yeah.
As they say.
Yeah, for sure. We already have feelers out. So it's just, you know, it's a evolving situation, but we're definitely looking to it.
Yeah. We're not done doing live shows.
Yeah. Remember we said that was the F.
That was the F. Don't worry. We're going to F again. We'll all F again at some point. Okay, everyone.
Thank you so much. We love you. And as we say at the end of every episode of Off Book.
Well, hold on. We have to do what we do at the every episode of Questions Off Book.
You're right. Mm. At the ends of those, we always do this.
That's right.
Hey there, Mr.
Gingerbread. Why are your walls so thin, Gingerbread Man?
Oh my gosh, a sneak peek?
It's never going to show up. People are going to be like, what was that?
Well, you'll never know. As we do at the end of every questions episode, leave you on a cliffhanger. Love you. Bye.
Bye.